Welcome to the Life of Faith North podcast, where you can access the latest sermon of the week and explore our archive of past messages. To access other resources or view live content, please visit us on YouTube at youtube.com/@Life of Faith North. We hope you will find this message encouraging and uplifting as you listen.
So thankful for what you're doing in our lives, what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, help us this morning. Help us to learn together, to grow together, to be stronger in soul together. In Jesus' name. Amen. So just real quick this morning, how's everybody's soul doing as we've been talking? You guys, listen, we have talked almost 4 months on one topic. Now that right there, if y'all know me, that's a miracle in and of its own little self right there. That I've been able to stay on one topic, because I'm normally like the ADHD squirrel pastor, right? I'm just running around trying to find all the little nuts I've hidden, you know. Amen. So it's good. How's everybody doing? How's everybody's soul? How many of you felt like you've gotten stronger in your soul? Amen. How many felt like it again? How many of you again have found some uncomfortable spots, right? But you worked through it. And you didn't die. You're still here, right? I mean, I never forget. Remember, you have survived 100% of the worst days you've ever had. There hasn't been a worse day yet that's killed you.
That's right.
Somebody else needed to hear that too. So you've survived all of your worst days. How awesome. Amen. But hey, listen, but if you've struggled in this series, right, which I knew and expect it would happen, and you pushed through, that's what we're talking about.
Hallelujah. That's exciting.
That's that getting stronger in our soul. Amen. So go to Philippians chapter 2, because we're still going to spend some time, and we're talking about the portion of our soul that is our will. Now, again, if you're watching online, number one, we welcome you. Thanks for joining us. If you're here, again, I know there's some newer faces here. Hey, listen, I can't do a four-month recap. So if you need to catch up, go look at the messages on YouTube. You can go listen to them on the podcast. But hey, listen, in the group me and on our Facebook or YouTube channel, I made videos on our lists, right? Because I know some folks have been asking about, well, what's the tools? What does this look like practically? What do I do? It's those lists. Making the lists and spending time every week meditating on the lists. Right, so again, I don't have time to cover all of them, but just for folks that might be tuning in for the first time, you'll find them. We did six, okay? And it's that practice that is going to strengthen. It's going to be the bedrock of what moves us forward as we strengthen our soul. Does that make sense? And as you've heard me say before, now we're probably getting into a time where you'll start hearing me sprinkle in some more how-tos. Things that I do or things that we do. But listen to me, but how-tos aren't the answer. Shifting what we think and believe always supplies the energy for the how-tos. Because remember, if how-tos were enough, if all you needed to know was how to do something, then every one of us would be skinny, rich, and happy. And that's one of the trip-ups, and even in our modern church culture, is we have a current culture that focuses on how-tos. And whether you know it or not, it's actually how-tos that grow churches and sell books. That's why, have you noticed a current trend? The X number of steps to get to here are the three keys to get to there, right? Are the four things you need to do to obtain whatever. Have y'all noticed that? Or am I the only one? Well, and they're good, but the challenge, Miss Abby, is that if the checklist isn't built on a firm belief system and change in soul, it will not last. Again, that's why New Year's resolutions don't last much past Valentine's Day. Because people found out, okay, I can cook this way, I can exercise this way, I can do this way, but I didn't change my soul about myself. I still see myself as weak and overweight. Then I can know all the how-tos of how to get strong and lose weight, and it won't stick. Does that make sense? That's why in many of this kind of, we've tried to lay 4 months of foundations of building up a strength of soul and changing our heart and our belief system so that when you find the how-tos for you, you have the belief system to do them. And I want to say that because I love you guys, because in the church world, it's just everybody's running to go get the next how-to. You just tell me how to do it. Right, that's itching ears. It will fail. Right, I love what like even Josh said during our little offering time when he was talking about the heart of giving versus just, well, here's the tithe. So the tithe is a great how-to. But with no heart for giving in our soul, the tithe will fail. Does that make sense? Is this helping? I know somebody else needed to hear that today. So please, in our journey now, as we continue to press forward, what you want to spend most of your time on is rewiring that heart. And that's what the lists are going to help you do. Because there's no how-tos in the lists. Did y'all notice that in all the lists we've talked about? I know that might have aggravated some folks, and I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. Right? But there's no how. Don't look for the how-to. Before you find a how-to, we have to rewire our soul. Does that make sense? Okay, so now, so as we get ready, we're going to start a transition in the topic towards, and at least as far as when I get up here to teach, right, as our other leaders and other people come up and teach, they have things they're going to keep teaching in the same vein of strengthening the soul. But I wanted to go ahead and kind of set as we start now, moving probably through most of the summer, we're going to gently, everybody say gently, everybody say kindly, everybody say patiently, everybody say lovingly, talk about how to be offense free. And all God's people said something. They said something. They said amen. They said oh me. They said ow. They said I don't like that. I don't care what you say. It's okay. Right? But we're going to, everybody remember what we said? We said kindly. And we said gently. Right? Lovingly. Patiently. Right? All this kind of stuff. Because listen, guys, more than ever, as I've taken now a good portion of a year in my own time, thinking on this, reading on this, studying on this, offense truly is the number one tool that the devil uses to rob your life. It's the first thing he goes to. Right? It's literally, and we'll look at it, not to get too far ahead in the teaching because I need to lay some groundwork. Groundwork. We need to lay some groundwork in this. It is the word, and we'll look at the word for offense in the Greek language is the word scandalon. That sounds like our word scandal or scandalous. It's where we actually get that word from. But the word scandalon literally means, and I want you to imagine, I need to get one if you help me. Imagine a big old rat trap. Can y'all see that? Not like the little bitty mouse traps. I'm not talking, those ones. I'm talking like the big one. The one, do y'all ever have to set those? Like we had one time at our house in the country up here when I was a kid, we had Norwegian wharf rats. They were like small cats. My brother got out of bed one day and stepped on one. And it was huge. And so we had to, and so dad bought these things. It looked like they put a mouse trap on steroids on like a 2x4. Right, and it was this spring, like, I mean, you said it, I mean, and you were sweating bullets when you were putting that little, have you ever done that before? I mean, that, and it's like, man, just nervous, because I mean, the thing looked like it'd just take your finger off if you got it in the wrong. But the word scandalon literally means that little bitty trigger that sets off the trap. That's the word throughout the New Testament that God uses when he says offense. It's the trigger that springs the trap. Right? And it's the number one tool the devil uses to steal the word from our life, to steal people from our life, to steal opportunity from our life. Right? And guys, listen, as I've looked at this, I can look over 20-something years of definitely pastoral ministry, and almost, I mean, it's almost 100% of the time, not quite, but high 90 percentile of the time, when I look back over situations, circumstances, helping people, I can look back and pretty much 9 times or better out of 10, what started it all was somebody took offense. It's where it all begins. Does that make sense? So just say, we're going to make this shift. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Anybody? I promise I'll be loving. I'll be kind. I'll be patient. I'll be gentle, right, as we talk about this. But what are we going to talk about? Because being free from offense lives and dwells in the part of your soul called your will. Right? So, remember we've talked about our will, and this is a real brief thing. So that will, remember we talked about our soul, basically is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, we've added some other things, and you can go back and watch other videos, but just most people are familiar with, yeah, your soul makes up your mind or your thinking, your will, and your emotions, right? We said that the thinking portion is the most important portion of our will, because the Bible talks about it the most.
Yeah.
But we talked about the will is the most powerful part of our soul. Why? Because with our will, we can literally reject God. With our will, we can literally do things and cut off things. And with our will, we can open up things. Does that make sense? So we talked about, and again, we talked about that what fuels our will is our ability to remember, right? Our remembering fuels our will, right? And from a strong will comes healthy emotions. So just real quick review. Because what happens is, remember that from our will creates our memories. We talked about that in connection to Mary, the mother of Jesus, because when the angel came and said, this is what God wants to do in your life, she said of her own will, be it done unto me according to your word. And that created a new moment. It created a new memory for her. But also, our will inspires our meanings. Because even with Mary again, you remember, because remember what Jesus, or God, was saying was going to happen? Hey, listen, in a culture where they kill people who are promiscuous, you get the wonderful privilege of being a lady not married, pregnant. And you get to run around and tell everybody it was God. And just like today, everybody said, oh yeah, right, Mary. Does that make sense? So Mary had to consistently let her will inspire the meaning she gave the moment. Do you see how this works? It says that these things happened and she pondered them in her heart. Why? Because she had to go back and let what she remembered of that encounter with God fuel her will to both create and inspire the proper moment and meaning, so that her identity could still be established as, no, he said, you remember? He said, blessed are you among women. He said, you are righteousness. And because you're right, I will give you righteousness personified. Do you see this? Well, do you think that was an easy journey for Mary? Probably not. I mean, I really do personally think that's why she escaped and went off to Elizabeth's house. You remember that in the story? She runs off. And now notice, this is important, right? This is a big piece. It's a whole sermon within itself. She went to someone who was experiencing a similar encounter to help fortify her will. Because she went to Elizabeth, who had just also had the same presence of God come up, and you're going to give birth to John the Baptist. And her husband was quiet for 9 months. And some of the ladies said, amen. Right? You know, some ladies today are still praying, Lord, you know that miracle you did for Elizabeth? Can you do that for me? I need that man to be quiet for about 9 months. Right? And so... Right? But hey, but Mary goes back. She finds someone who will stand with her, who will come alongside and say, I understand what this feels like. I understand what's going on. Does that make sense? Why? Because you need people to help you stand strong and will as you move forward. Is this all helping? No, this is a lot. Okay. So, but what flows, man, this is, where do we go, God? time's sake. Okay, go to Philippians. Let's look at this real quick. Now again, when we talk about this and we talk about our soul, and I want to make sure we are never, ever talking about any of this stuff apart from God. Right, we are never ever insinuating that we have to generate this on our own, that we have to be good little boys and good little girls and have a nice strong soul, and then God will be happy with us. This is just what I call soul mechanics, that like all of our life, and may I say this, but the most important part of our life is this journey with Him.
Yes.
Right, so here in Philippians chapter 2 it says, in verse 12, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more so in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Notice verse 13. For it is God who works in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. Does that make sense? So, as even though we remember, we're remembering, as we said, but what did we say we're remembering? This whole last couple of weeks I've shared. What are we remembering? Our God stories, right? Right? We're remembering our God stories. We're remembering those moments when God showed up in our life. We're remembering those times when God came through. Again, it's one of those lists. We're collecting our God stories. And has been said all morning, and we're sharing those stories with our children. We're sharing those stories with our family. Why? Because our God story breeds hope, right? It breeds vision. And again, I don't have time to go. You can go back and read Psalm 78, where God says that if you'll tell your story to the next generation so that they have hope and they have vision. And we pair, so what it says is that this whole process begins with God. Because God begins to do what God promised He would do in our life. He begins to operate. He begins to show up. He consistently comes through and gives us these stories. And then Paul says, because it's God who gives us the will. So it's God who is ultimately, and at the highest level, He is inspiring our will. God, listen, God is endeavoring, and just help me with this, Holy Spirit, please, to say this, and imagine this with me. The greatest gift God gave mankind when He created us was our will. She's not in here, I like picking on them when they're in here, but Savannah. I'll pick on our Savannah. Because Savannah, of all the Holloman children, is the most strong-willed. Would we all, Hollomans would all agree with that, right? Yeah. I mean, Savannah was the one, like I said before, you know, Sophia had her moments where, you know, she was that child that she would lovingly look at you and go, "Yes, Father, I'll be glad to do that," and then never do it. Right? Right, that was her. And then Savannah just look at you and go, "No." Knowing you're about to beat her. You know, knowing that the whipping's coming, she's still just like, "No, not doing it." Nope. And so I remember we'd grow and she had this really strong will, and we would talk to her, you know, "Hey, listen, and those that have strong-willed kids, don't try to break their will. You give them a better gift. Teach them how to control it, how to yield it." And I would look at her, I said, "Baby, God gave you such a strong will. It must mean you're going to need it for whatever He's asked you to do." And I remember, I forgot, she was 5 or 4. "Your strong will is a gift. Now I need you to yield. And you have to yield." And she cried one day, "But it doesn't feel like a gift. All it does is get me in trouble." And we had to say, "No, it's a gift. It's a strong..." Hey, listen, the greatest gift God gave you is your will. Why? Because with your will, you can create worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, if you're not as naturally strong-willed, can you build your will?
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Actually, here's the thing, though. Here's the misnomer. I was saying all that to say this, is we all have a strong will. Yeah. Because every one of you here, right? And I'd have to get to know you, but there'd be things where if I came up to you and said, "Oh, Courtney, you're going to do this." And Courtney starts shaking her head, "Nothing, I ain't doing that." Mm-mm. Now Courtney's sweet and Courtney's nice and Courtney's gentle and she's kind. But if I looked up here and said, "Courtney, you come up here and preach a message today." And Courtney would be, "I ain't doing it. Mm-mm. Nope, not me. Not at all. Next." All of us have a strong will. There's not a human on the planet that doesn't. It's just, where have I exercised it? Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I mean, especially since you're pointing out it comes from God.
Yeah.
Not the will.
You have
a strong will, therefore you can do it.
That's exactly right. You have a strong will because God gave you both the will. So listen to me. How many of you have found this out? If you're like me, that quite periodically in life, God shows up, ask you to do stuff that is for your greater good, that will take you places that you couldn't get to on your own. And your little will and my little will goes, "No! Next!" All of us have that, right? Listen to me. That's why throughout the entirety of Scripture, God is after people who will take their will and yield it to His desire. Does that make sense? It's actually interesting. The word meek really fits in this. Have you ever heard of the meek?
Yeah.
So let's just do a little fun little game. When you've heard people talk about meekness, what comes to mind?
A mouse.
A mouse. Huh? Weakness. When you think about the meek, like again, most famous quote in the Bible, Jesus says, "And the meek will inherit the earth." And everybody thinks about a bunch of little pansy, weak, limped, noodle-like people that get the planet. Have you ever thought about that before? Right? And the meek. Here's the better definition for meek. It's literally, if you look at it, it's the word that's associated with the war horse. Did you know that there are whole types, breeds of horses that are war horses? And I was actually listening to this again. And a war horse has such a love of battle that literally, right, it paws at, it smells blood and gun smoke, and it paws at the ground to get to the fight. But it has such discipline that it'll stand there next to a burning piece of equipment and won't move until the rider tells it to. See, that's meekness. It's more like this. It means this. Someone who has the ability and the capacity to do great damage, but the strength of will to know when to hold back and when to go all out. It's basically talking about the person who they have a sword, they know how to use the sword, but they also know how to keep the sword sheathed at the right moment. That's now, and that's the word that Jesus said, and the meek will inherit the earth. See, meekness, huh?
Disciplined
will. Not just aggression only. But see, meekness talks about a person who has such a strength of will under control. It's again like war horses. If you ever watch more documentaries on it, there's different ways they train war horses. And some of them were trained one of two different ways. They were called rein trained, which meant the rider, all he had to do was touch the rein on the side of the neck of the horse and it would go that way. But some of them, if they were archers, if they were horse archers, and you watch, you know that's a new Olympic sport, which I'm really excited about, is horse archery. People riding horses and shooting bows. I just like, sign me up. I like that. But those horses, it's the gentle pressure of the knee. The rider simply presses the knee and moves the horse. Listen to me, that's meekness. That's a will that is strong and under control. And what God is saying and what God is looking for is He says, I want to be the rider. And I need the strength of your will to be under my control. So that when I nudge you and I whisper to you in that still small voice, you make the turn. But at the same time, you're pawing and eager and ready to do whatever He would ask you to do.
Right.
Does this make sense?
Yes.
See, that's a strong will under. That's what every human has. Does that make sense? You understand that it takes the strength of the yielded human will to God to bring the kingdom to this earth. Huh? So it takes the yielded human will that's yielded to God, right? So that He can then express His kingdom in this earth. Does this, so I'm trying to, am I doing okay? Is this making sense for everybody? All right, good. Remember I said we're going to go loving, we're going to go patient, we're going to go gentle. Does that make sense? So, go to Psalms 103. I'm a doing. We'll set some of this stuff up. Everybody say, Brad, you can slow down. All right, Psalms 103. Because we're still talking about remembering. We're talking about the human will. We're talking about our God stories. Psalms 103, very famous, it's very familiar. We're going to read through it and kind of apply it and begin to let this guide us in this direction. So it says in Psalms 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, what?
Oh, my soul.
Now, isn't this interesting? That the blessing, your blessing to God doesn't come from your spirit. I'm going to say it one more time. Where does your ability to bless God comes from? Where?
My soul.
Your soul. See, your spirit's perfect. Your spirit's in union with God.
Yes.
Right? Your spirit is, I mean, again, I like to joke, your spirit has a roommate. His name just happens to be Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And see, your spirit and the Holy Spirit, they never get tired and they never go to bed. So see, your spirit and Holy Spirit are up yakking at each other all the time.
All the time.
Da, 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 da. The problem is the soul. Again, this is a whole other subject. Y'all look at me kind of funny. That's why, you understand, most people are standing there in praise and worship going, okay, God, take over. Are you with me? Again, people, when it comes to praying in the Spirit, many times it's the same thing. Okay, God, I'm ready for you. You're just going to talk through me. Go. And they're just waiting for God to take over. Listen, your soul must express what's in your heart. Your soul is what expresses your blessing. Let me back up. Did y'all know y'all can bless God? Maybe I should start there. Did y'all know that? Some church folks don't know that. They just think God's there to bless me. Right? Now, hey, God's a great blesser, and He will bless you. But if you read through Scripture, we get to bless Him. How many of you would like to bless God?
Yes.
Amen. But let's put it like this way. Let's just do another little human funny analogy. What if, if I was a multi-gajillionaire, and I came in and I gave all of you like $1 billion? Would y'all like that? Would that be nice? Anybody say no to that? Would anybody go, you know what, Brad, that's just too much. You can just change that B to an M. But how many, if I could do that and I did do that, how much of you would you want to at least show reciprocation and bless back? And if you even got halfway a sniff that the person who super blessed you wanted something, and you would be like, that's all they want? After all they gave me? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It'd be like if I gave you $1 billion. And you just found out, I just love going down there to Jack's and getting me that Big Jack with a large fry and a comeback sauce and a Coca-Cola. Man, that just makes me happy every time. And you heard the dude that just gave you $1 billion say all he wants is an $8 hamburger meal at Jack's. How many of you would be like, let's go get Brad. Come on now. After all he's done for me, all he wants is an $8 hamburger meal.
You may end up with 30 of them.
After all he's done for us,
yes,
and all he asks for,
yes,
is so very little in comparison to what all he's done for us. That's why David says, so bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And it says, and forget not all of his benefits. So again, why did God write that there? Because we're going to be very apt to forget. But I want us to notice this. But we're going to look at this real quick. Guys, listen and help me, Holy Spirit, say this. But listen, God's about to tell us the five categories of stories He's about to write in our life. Remember, I haven't gotten off topic with this. I'm trying to build up to something. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of my benefits. We could say it like this. Hey, and don't forget what I've done for you. And don't forget what I'm going to do for you. Number one, what does it say? He forgives. So that means in my life,
yep,
I can expect some forgiveness stories. Do y'all see that?
Yes.
Why? Because one of his benefits is going to be forgiveness. So that means, A, I can expect him to forgive me. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. Now, that's a real easy one, right? When Brad acts like a dummy, I know I'm not talking about none of y'all. None of y'all are dummies, just me. When Brad acts like a dummy and I do what I'm not supposed to do, I can expect God to show up and give me repeated forgiveness stories. And I can expect some forgiveness stories through me, too. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Why? Because apparently forgiveness is one of his benefits. Apparently forgiveness is something he desires to express through my will.
Right,
we're going to let that marinate just for a second. Number two, what does it say? He heals all my diseases. So again, I can expect some healing stories. Hey, that means in me. When Brad needs a healing, and I can go back, I told you on my one about God healing me of that kidney stone in Mexico. Y'all remember? Amen. There's been all kinds of healing stories for my life. Seeing all kinds of where God healed me. Praise God.
Yeah.
And I can expect some healing stories, huh?
I just have to remember when we first met and I turned my ankle at your house.
That's right. I remember. I can expect healing stories through me.
Yeah.
Why? Because apparently healing is one of his benefits. So do you see how this is? See, remember, the benefits are not just one directional. The benefits aren't just what's going to come to me only. They're also going to be expressed through me. Does this make sense?
Yes. Yes.
And apparently all of this is the blessing. Remember, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not. Guys, listen to me. So that must mean when I remember, that remembering is what helps make access to the blessing. Both ways. Because when I remember what God did for me, I'm reminded, oh yeah, wow, look at how God blessed me. Look at all He did for me. He healed me here. And then when I'm confronted with healing opportunities, when I remember, I'm like, well, God wants to heal that. Does this make sense? Am I doing okay building a case? Number three. What does it say, number three? He redeems, but let's talk about from what?
Destruction.
Right? So God redeems, and that word again, and I want to say it like this. It's a salvation word, and I know we've really churchified that word. We have totally Christianized that word. Redeemed, how I love to pray. I love that song, right? Redeemed by, you remember that? Everybody. No, it's just, right? So redeem means, but what does redeem mean?
To buy.
I want you to think here. Here's a little fun and a little funny. When you hear the word redeemed, you're going to think pawn shop. Because that's really what that meant. Anybody ever used a pawn shop before? Needed to make some fast money? And you took your prized item down to the pawn shop and you traded it in? Nobody know? All these, nobody's ever, y'all know how pawn shops work? Right? So you take, I would take my wedding ring, right? And I would take it down there and go, we're really, really desperate. We ain't got no groceries. And I would give them my pawn shop, and he would look at it like Pawn Stars on TV, and he'd go, yeah, you know, that's only worth
20 bucks,
right? Okay, fine, you know. And then he gives you a ticket. You know what that ticket's called? It's called a redemption ticket. And it basically says, you've got till X date to show back up here with $25. And get your ring back. How many of you ever realized that you sold yourself to destruction?
Yeah.
Now some folks have sold themselves to major destruction.
Yeah.
All of us have sold ourselves to minor destruction. I remember if you followed one of my Facebook posts this week, I posted it, right? One of the guys I listened to, he kind of slapped me around. It wasn't nice. He was beating me up when he was teaching because he says, hey, remember, and I'm always, remember, Brad, old doesn't equal weak.
Mm.
Right? He goes, bad habits over time equals weak. I'm like, well, crap. You didn't have to go say that. Because there's been times I have micro-pawned my health, my money, my relationships. But here, one of the benefits means he redeems my life from destruction. That means throughout my life, I'm going to have some redemption stories. Where I'm going to look and I'm going to see. Now, some of that can mean things like this, like truly. Is this all right if I'm telling this? Everybody doing okay? When I was little bitty, I was probably like Leah's age. I was a little bitty guy. My mom tells this story. We were living up there at the property in Corner. We'd moved the house up there, long story in and of itself. And we lived in this little single wide trailer. And it was summertime, came up a real bad thunderstorm. And you ever been in one of those storms where the thunder got real close, like it was a clap? My mom says that there was a clap of thunder. There was this lightning, this flash, and she turned. And about the time she turned, she saw the lightning bolt come straight down to my head. And it got about 3 feet over my head, and it's like it hit a force field. And the lightning bounced all around me as a little bitty guy. Right, why? Because God redeems your life from destruction. No, baby, that had nothing to do with me. That had everything to do with God.
Yeah.
Right, also the same time when God saved my bacon, all those times I got into stupid accidents. Does that make sense? Because I was a dummy. And I thought I was Fast and the Furious before there was a Fast and the Furious, right? Right? And God saved my life from destruction. But also, he saves my life from those little micro-destructions. My bad habits. My small things. But guys, listen to me. But if I got redemption stories, what else does that mean? That there'll be redemption. There'll be times God will ask me to redeem someone from their destruction.
Yes.
It's one of the highest honors God gives us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that we get to express the same level of redemption, of purchase.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Where we can literally, tangibly, we can buy people back. I love what Joshua, that's why God wants you to prosper. That's why God wants to cause you to be so abundant. Because all around you, every day, there are moments when you can buy back stuff. You can step into people's lives and be literally the tangible arm of God that redeems them from their own destruction.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's why poverty and thinking poor is the most selfish thing we could ever do.
Yes.
To sit there and say, all I want is just enough for me to be comfortable.
Yeah.
How selfish is that?
Yeah.
It'd be like me talking to my kids going, you know, I just want them to be healthy enough so they can be comfortable. Hello, are you with me? We got to paint the picture, right? Right, I only want them to be educated enough so they can just be comfortable. Now, I say those things and we all laugh, right? But why do we say that about prosperity?
Yeah.
Why do we think all of a sudden it shifts and it makes us holy when God says, hey, listen, I've got to have some stories through you. And you have to have a strength of will enough to where, again, when God fills your pocketbook up, right, that he sits there and says, okay, now you go do this for them. Go supply. Go step in as me and redeem this for them. Save them even from their own destruction. You see how this? All right, that's enough of that. So what's the next one? What's the next? Well, the next benefit. There's five benefits. What's the next one? It says he crowns you with And I love that. Loving kindness and tender mercies. I think it's ESV or one of the other ones that says, I love it. He goes, he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Does that make sense? Again, that means, again, that we are loving and we are kind. Because kindness is simply mercy expressed.
Yes.
If you've never known that before, right? That mercy is, again, it's a churchified word. We don't understand what that fully means. Mercy is kindness demonstrated. We know that because if you ever had somebody rail on you and they're not being kind, and we normally say things like, will you just have mercy with me? Can I have some mercy? Can't you just be merciful? Why? Because kindness is the expression of mercy. But I love that he says that, hey, so that I've got love stories in my life. I got mercy stories in my life from God. Right? But also, I'm going to have some love stories and some mercy stories that come from me. And again, we're going to come back and we'll finish one and then say, this is why offense can't exist in our life. Because offense is the counterfeit of one of the benefits of God. It cancels out. Have you ever, we haven't had this happen, I don't think, yet. You tell me, I don't remember. But, you know, they talk about insurance. You know, you have insurance benefits. Except for all the parts where they don't want to insure you. and they sit there and say, and if you do this, it disqualifies you from that benefit. And people normally get disappointed. I thought I had, what happened? You know, well, you ate a pickle on the second Tuesday of February in 1973. And pickles back then were not made the same way they are now. And so that cancels out your insurance policy, right? Well, guys, listen, offense cancels out one of our benefits. Offense cancels out our ability to experience and express steadfast love and mercy. And I love that. Why? Because, see, guys, listen, steadfast. What does that mean when you hear the word steadfast? What do you think when you hear that word? It's consistent. Huh?
Long-term.
It's long-term.
Strong.
It's strong. It's persevering. Right? I always say that. It doesn't go anywhere. Steadfast, again, I'll tell on Audra this. Remember we talked about we can borrow people's stories? Now, this is one of my favorite stories about Audra and her life is your friend who had cancer. What was her name again? Amber. And y'all were how old?
Like 14 and 12.
14 and 12 or whatever. And Audra's friend had leukemia and stuff. And somehow they found out. And so Audra would call her friend who was fighting cancer. And the friend didn't want the call. Is that if I'm remembering right? Yeah, she thought she was dying, so she's trying to push her away. So Audra just kept saying, okay, I'll call you tomorrow. And call, and this friend would be snarky or do whatever and try to get Audra to not call back. And, all right, I'll call you tomorrow. Right? All right, I'll call you tomorrow. It's like I told Selena and Sim, I have steadfast love. I said, hey, listen, if you ever decide to leave me, just tell me where we're going. That way I know how to pack, right? I mean, why? Because we have steadfast. Did you know? Listen, guys, man, aren't you glad you can't offend God enough that He runs away from you? Aren't you glad, right, that you just, He's just standing up there and you are, I'm going to pick on me. I'm just going to pick on Brad, right? I'm just going to pick on Brad today, being kind and love. And you get, Brad gets a little snippy with God. Anybody ever got snippy with God besides me? You get a little bit snippy with God. Why did you come through? Why had you done this? And where are you at? And And he goes, all right, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Let's try this again tomorrow. Right? Why? Because, yeah, hey, he's steadfast and his mercy is new every morning. Why? Because it's one of his benefits. Does this make sense? We'll come back around to this and look at that in just a sec. We'll set up next week. But lastly, and I got to finish with this one, and then we're going to look at one thing and then we're done. Number five. What's number five? Oh, wrong one. He satisfies your mouth. So there's satisfaction that comes, right? So there's satisfied. Now, this one, I just learned this one recently, and I did check it out, and it's absolutely true. You know, when you hear preachers preach stuff, go check behind them. Free word of advice, that's never offensive. If you find a preacher that's offended that you checked up behind them, run.
Yeah.
Right? Don't, just run, right? Because if they can't be wrong, run, right? Because if they can't be wrong, they're hardly ever right. You know? You know, and so just free word of advice. But I was listening to Brother Bill Johnson, and he brought this out. That word, we look at satisfies your mouth. It's better translated for us. He decorates your life with ornaments just for you. So I want you to think about it. Everybody has styles. Think Christmas. How many of you are like big Christmas folk? Right. Well, now, you know. I mean, I've heard of folk, and I've seen a few folk. How many of you ever know those folk? They got a Christmas tree in every room. And each one is like themed. So you go to this room, and it's this tree. And you go to this room, and it's this tree. And you go to this room, and it's another. Hey, listen, you know, those people, some people are like going, who in the world would do that? And other people are like, oh, that's it's so... I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. But that's what that means. That God decorates your life with things simply because he knows you like it. Like books. Like I just had my most recent one, right? It's been decades. I have looked and I'm like, man, I want a fishing kayak. I saw some of the first years. I mean, this is years ago. I think even before I met you, but I mean, I think for 26 years since we've been together, or better, I've talked about, man, one day I want one of them fishing kayaks. Man, one day. And then, like so many stuff, you look at the sticker and go, no, I don't want that bad. It's good. Good. It's good. We'll do something else. And so, but secretly, on the inside, you know, go to Bass Pro Shop, and there I am, you know, rubbing the kayak, you know. You know, and the other day, we had an opportunity coming up to do something, and... I knew somebody had one, and I thought, oh, I'll call so-and-so. And I was just hoping to borrow it, right? So this wasn't fishing. I want to make sure that's clear for everybody listening. I just literally thought, hey, friend, hey, can I borrow that? We're about to go do something in a few weeks. And this person goes, hey, dude, just come get it. And I was like, huh? He goes, you know I never use that thing. It's just taking up space. Just come get it. And I said, yeah, and you know, I'm like, actually, I swore just a little bit. You know, I said, you know, you come on, you're S-ing me. What? And he goes, no, yeah, you come get it. And I'm like, sweet! Right? You know, and you look at this guy, and it's, I'm like, wow. And I stand back and go, and God reminded me this verse. He goes, remember, I know everything. I know what you like. And those things, see, those satisfy. He's not just talking about good food there. He's literally talking about divine moments of frivolous to us blessing. Just because he's a good dad. I mean, again, don't we all do that with our kids? Do all we can, see something, see them like something, and you go, why? Because you're like, man, I just want to bless my kid. So again, that means that in my life, there are going to be some serious ornament stories that God does for me. But at the same time, wants to do. So now the big thing is, man, God, I want like a whole bunch of these. Why? Because I want to be the guy that goes, hey, come get this thing. Hey, come, hey, I got this thing over here. Come get this thing. Is this helping? Why? Because these are the kinds of stories God wants to write for you and through you. Are these kind of stories? Why? Because these are the benefits of the kingdom. Guys, listen, if I can help us, I would ask all of us to begin to allow these benefits to be the fuel and the guide to our imagination.
Yeah.
Why? Because he said, hey, listen, don't forget, on one side it's two sides. We need to have our imagination fueled to remember.
Yes.
Right? To remember our God stories in these categories, but also have it fueled to go, hey,
how can I
express, and how can I be willing
and available
to let him do the will and the do? Because, guys, would you think these things are the good pleasure of God?
Yes.
Do you know it's his good pleasure to forgive?
Yeah.
Should be ours too.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that one more time.
Yeah.
Is it God's good pleasure to forgive? Should be mine too. Where I take pleasure in forgiving people. Because does God take pleasure in forgiving you? How could we be offended? Almost like this. You're like, oh, sweet, I get to forgive you. This is going to be so exciting. You're not expecting it. Because you were being a butt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get to be him.
Yeah.
Is it God's good pleasure to heal?
Yeah.
Think it's his good pleasure to heal through you?
Yes.
Where you get to touch people?
Yeah.
See cancer disappear? You get to stand back and go, oh my.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. How about, do you think it's his good pleasure to redeem your life from destruction?
Yeah.
How about yours? Is it your good pleasure to prepare and to be ready and to be eager to go?
Mm-hmm.
Where is that? Who do I get to, again, it's who do I get to buy out of their slavery? Have you ever thought about that? Because, I mean, again, that would be, I mean, again, I'll share my imaginations at times has been, how do we buy these girls? How do we buy these girls that are in select? How do we walk up and go, oh, you could have made $300,000 with her this year. There it is. She's mine. And then give her a life and help her and release her. Make her. Disciple her.
Oh my gosh.
Come on. And can I just say, and have so much that if you get a mean, snarky dude, some kind of guy that's I'm trying to be nice. You know, well, how about this? And he asks for $1 million, you give him $1 million and you lead him to forgiveness?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Can you? I mean, we can do small stuff like that. There's been times I haven't been able. We can pay for people to go to places like the Foundry.
Yeah.
We can pay for people. I right now I can't, but I could go, man. But one day, you see,
yeah.
Right? How about this? Steadfast love and mercy. Is that God's good pleasure?
Yeah.
Is it mine? To be loving and kind. So guys, over the next coming weeks, again, finally, you know, is it his pleasure to ornament you with stuff? How about yours? Is it your pleasure?
Yeah.
But guys, in the coming weeks, and we'll land here, we're going to focus. It's interesting that there are two benefits that go hand in hand. Steadfast love and mercy and forgiveness. Because they're the antidote to offense. Living and expressing these two benefits of the kingdom make us offense free. If I could say it like this, it makes us Teflon coated. Does that mean I'm saying that you'll never have any opportunity to be offended? No, because we're going to look at what Jesus said. Jesus actually said, hey, listen, it's impossible for offense not to come. It's just impossible. So when I say offense free, I'm not talking about I go through life and there's never anybody out there that doesn't get. I'm talking about becoming Teflon coated. Yeah, Brother Hagin, you say that all the time. I'm passing up a marvelous opportunity to be offended. Have you ever thought about that, right? Have you ever, we even say it right, we call it, oh, so and so, they took offense. Do you realize offense must be taken?
Yes. Yeah.
It can never be forced upon you.
It's yeah.
See, these give you the ability to not take it. For offense to come and it literally slide off of your soul. Does that make sense? Are y'all ready? I want you to imagine it. So these fuel and guide our imagination, right? But as we close, I want you to just close your eyes and do this with me, if you will. Can you imagine what your life would look like if you never took offense? What would that look like? What would it look like if when opportunity to be offended came, you could just pass it up? How would that feel? What would that be? My next question would be, and would you like it? Is that anything that's desirous for you? Because, church, listen to me, it is absolutely possible that we can live at a place where offenses in life, when they come, we just let them pass by. We just let them.
Thank you for listening to our Life of Faith North podcast. If you would like to partner with us by giving, please visit our Cash App page. This can be found at cash.app/$LOFNorth. We hope this message was encouraging to you today. Thanks again for listening, and have a blessed day.